The Gospel of Luke chapter 10. But we won't read the whole scriptures. Luke chapter 10, 25 onwards. Tonight actually there was a minister of the gospel supposed to come and preach tonight. That one of the associate pastors of John Hagee Ministries. He was supposed to come here tonight and preach. So I was saying, thank God somebody else is there to preach. I can relax at home. But unfortunately I got the dates mixed up. He's coming next week and not this week. And I came to know that only about 10 minutes back. So I really don't have a clear-cut word, but we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Amen. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 10, verses 25.
And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? He answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. He said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead.
Enough. Amen. The rest of it you can read it later. Hallelujah. Title the message, Mind the Road of Jericho. Amen. Hallelujah. There was a lawyer who wanted to tempt Jesus or test Jesus. Anytime you want to test the Lord, you're actually testing yourself. So he said, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Amen. Jesus said to him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. Amen. Your mind is just not your brain. If you gotta love the Lord, you gotta love Him with all your heart. You got to love Him with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your might, with everything that is within you, you have to love the Lord. Now your mind is not your brain alone. Your mind is pretty dangerous. There are people with good minds, there are people with bad minds, and there are people with no mind. There's a saying, if you don't mind your own business, somebody else will mind it for you. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, mind your mind. Amen. Every thought that comes into your mind has an agenda. Whether it be a tangible thought, whether it be a subliminal thought, whether it be a very conscious thought, every thought that influences or invades your mind has got an agenda. So you got to know the agenda of your mind. You know, when we speak about the mind, sometimes we think mind is confined to a person. But sometimes families can have a mind. And what I mean by that is a mindset. Sometimes there is a saving mindset in their family. There is a progressive walk with God that is evident in certain families. That's the mindset of that family. There are certain families with an educational mindset. All the kids would want to study, learn, grow up and become something in life. There are certain family values, certain mindsets of family, certain values on how they will treat relationships, where they will invest, what they will do, what their careers would be. So you would find sometimes certain families will say, everyone in our family is into oil business. Some of them say, everyone is into real estate. Everybody is into estates or whatever. There are mindsets. Not only families, nations can have a mind. Groups of people can have a mindset. Black people have a certain mindset. Whether it be in South Africa, whether it be in US, whether it be in UK, whether it be in Ghana, whether it be in Uganda, Kenya, they have a particular mindset. White people have a certain mindset. We Indians have a certain mindset. We Malayali people have a certain mindset. Some of the minds are locked. Some people are a prisoner in their own mind. They are bound in their mind. They cannot even think normally. Their minds are bound. But tonight I believe there's going to be certain minds that are going to be opened by the name of Jesus Christ. How do people's mind gets locked up? Certain people say Christianity has locked the minds. Now that I've come to Jesus, I don't even use my mind. My mind is pretty locked up, some people say. But when you look at any civilization, you will find wherever Christianity has reached, whichever civilization, people have only been liberated in their minds. Amen. Well, I'm coming to the message. I haven't missed the page. I haven't missed the chapter. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Sometimes people lose their mind or get their minds locked up because of a conflict. Sometimes they have a fear, a conflict. Cultures can influence minds. And that is true to a certain extent. Cultures. Sometimes people can't see beyond their culture. It is said that in Africa sometimes it takes, you know, when they have to greet somebody, a tribal leader, that greeting of that tribal leader or saying hi to him, we just say hi. When we meet somebody, we say hi, hello, and we go on. Or we come into the next part of the conversation. But in Africa, certain in a particular tribe, when they're having a conversation, it's a culture. You know, how are you? Koki no no mokoso. Koki no mokoso fo. I'm okay. How is your wife? And the person will say, my wife is fine. How is your wife? How is your kids? How are your kids? Then they'll speak. It goes on. It is said that sometimes that conversation of just greeting each other in that culture goes on for 4 hours, 5 hours. How is your tent? How is your cow? How is your cattle? I mean, different things. They go on. That's a culture. And by the time they finish that greeting part, somebody else goes off with the job. It's a mindset. Now in the Old Testament, when Solomon was praying, and the Lord asked him, what do you want? He didn't say wisdom, even though the Book of Kings doesn't say wisdom. He said, Lord, give me an understanding heart or an understanding mind. The Book of Chronicles says that God gave him wisdom, or he asked for wisdom. But when Solomon asked, what he said was, Lord, give me an understanding mind. And the Lord said to him, since you have not asked for riches or for long life or for some other blessing, together with your understanding, mind, or wisdom, I will give you everything else. Amen. Hallelujah. And in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Luke chapter 24, it says there, Jesus, the 24th chapter uses the word Jesus in the 45th verse, Jesus opened the understanding of their hearts. So tonight, how many of you believe that your understanding can be opened, your heart can be opened, your mind can be opened? Maybe it's locked, maybe it's bound, maybe it's tied down, maybe there's a particular mindset that is destroying your family, your home, your lifestyle. But tonight, I believe that Jesus Christ can open up any mindset. He can reveal Himself to you and open up your mind and set you free. If you believe that, say hallelujah. Amen. Because if your mind is locked up, it will never be forward thinking. It will always be backward thinking. Most people cannot even look forward, think forward. They are always looking at the past. Because their minds are locked up. But when understanding comes, the understanding comes in five areas. One, in the area of your imagination. Imagination is a part of your mind. In the book of Genesis, the 6th chapter, the Bible uses the word, the imagination or the thoughts of the heart of the people during Noah's time were all tending to bend towards wickedness. But if Jesus is going to open your understanding, your imagination is going to change. You're going to imagine the thoughts of God. You're going to have the dreams of God. Your imagination is not going to go wayward. It's going to be controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lift your hand and say, Amen. Praise the Lord. Understanding in the area of creativity. Sometimes people cannot have a creative idea, a creative thought. I said to the Lord, Lord, if you want me to be a preacher, give me a creative mindset. Let me look at a passage of scripture. Let it come alive. Holy Spirit, breathe out of that something that is powerful, which will make me think not like others, that will make me creative in presenting the gospel, which will bless and set people free. If you are working somewhere, if you are in your family profession, don't be stuck up with traditional kind of thought pattern where there is nothing new happening, where you can't think out of the box and nothing new is being revelational in your life. It's time, the time is over for past thinking. The time is open in the church for creative thinking. Let there be creative geniuses here. Let there be creative business ideas. Creative, financial ideas. Creative thought patterns in your ministry, in your life. Let your understanding be open tonight in the name of Jesus. Oh, somebody lift your hands and give a shout of praise to Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Mind. We're speaking about the mind, the road to Jericho. The third area of your understanding is the area called reason or logic or rational. Is it amazing as a pastor sometimes you preach to people and tell them about salvation? You tell them about deliverance, about healing, about prosperity, about the anointing, and they listen to the message, they say Amen, Hallelujah, they shout, they're so enthusiastic. You teach them about offerings, about tithing, all that. They're so excited, happy. They enjoy the message. They go out from here. Some joker meets them on the road and says, what is the teaching? God will make us prosperous. God will open the understanding. He says, what kind of teaching is that? Suddenly they're confused. Or they go onto the internet and listen to a message. Or they read a book suddenly. And suddenly they are judging the preacher who's trying to bless them based on something that they heard from somewhere else. Why? Their logic or their rationale or their reason is not being freed. But tonight I pray that you will understand and you will have understanding within your hearts, where your rationale, where your logic, where your reason will be controlled by God's word, by the things that God wants you to do, and you will walk in the liberty of the Holy Spirit. Lift your hand and say, I receive from God tonight. Amen. The fifth one. Is that the fifth one? The fourth one. But I want to say the fifth one first. It's motivational. What is your motive? What motivates you? Does carrots motivate you? You want to make a donkey walk an extra mile? You show carrots in front. There are many people who will use coercion to motivate others. Listen, you get through this job, I will give you 100 rupees. It's motivating that person. Or you know, when we were young, my mother used to say, if you help out in the kitchen or if you help out in the garden, he'll give you pocket money. So I used to go there and try to pull out the weeds and help her in the garden. Small kids. Why? Because the pocket money motivated me. It was not done out of love for God and love for parents or whatever. It was pocket money. It's the carrot. Are you with me? But how many of you know even donkeys get tired of carrots after some time? You can't keep people motivated with coercion, with gifts. You do your homework, I'll buy you a cycle. You pass the SSLC with distinction, I'll get you a bike. You do this, I'll get you to do this. I'll let you have this. So what happens? As the years go by, the kid wants a bigger carrot all the time. Hallelujah. Motivational. What I mean by that is what motivates you. Sometimes people sticks. You can get really motivated if your teacher takes a stick and hits you. You will do your homework well. Won't you? Fear. Sometimes people are made to do things just out of fear. That's where abuse takes place. Sometimes people come to me and say, Pastor, you don't come to my home and pray for me and my family on such and such a date at such and such a time. We're leaving the church. I tell them, bye-bye. It's a kind of manipulation. It's a kind of, it's not of scripture. It's not of God. What motivates you? Whether it be in your family life, whether it be in your ministry, whether it be in your walk with God or doing business or whatever. What is the agenda? I mean, what is the thing that motivates? What do you use? What Jesus used for his kingdom in the Bible is what is called soft power. Say soft power. Not sticks, not beating, not fear. Soft power. Jesus never tempted anybody and said, listen, I'll give you this, I'll give you that. He said to people, you want to go? Go. He never forced anybody to stay with him. He said, you want to go? Go. Ta-da. Bye-bye. But people stayed with Jesus. Why? Because of soft power. What do I mean by that? They wanted what he was. Are you with me? They looked at Jesus and they said, we want that. No, we want to be like that. See, the blessing over your life or the anointing or the gifting can be so strong, can be something beautiful. The grace of God that reveals in your life can be so strong that you can actually be the light and the salt of the earth, that people look at you and say, I want what that person has. Wow. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amidst tragedies or turns or twists of life, look at the peace on his face. Look at in the conflicts of life. Look at the joy in his spirit. When people have rejected him, look how gracefully he handles that. Praise the Lord. Glory unto the name of Jesus. Look at somebody and say, be like Jesus. Hallelujah. Be like. Jesus. The fourth one, because I missed the fourth one of your mind is the area called attitude. Attitude. Praise the Lord. Amen. T.D. Jakes was once asked, when you have your mega fest conferences, gospel crusades, how do you choose a preacher to preach for you? He said, well, what I do is I pray, but more than praying, I watch. I watch people. I watch people in the ordinary aspects of their life. I just watch them. How they treat their wife. How they treat their husband. How they treat their kids. Is there love? Is there respect? Is there care? I watch them. How do they treat the poor amidst them? I mean, how do they handle the congregation? How do they treat people? I look. I watch. And if they're treating somebody right, I know they got a good attitude. But nobody's watching them. If they know how to behave, it means they have a good attitude. We become suddenly nice and good if everybody's watching us. Are you with me? I've seen that. Sometimes you walk in for the preaching of the word, you walk in, and somebody's sitting there, and suddenly the pastor walks in, and I look at them and say, Hallelujah. Because they don't want me to see, they don't want me to see them yawning. But I saw them sleeping just 2 hours back when the worship started, sitting in that chair. While they were not watching me, I was watching them. Hallelujah. Your attitude or your character is what you are when nobody's watching you. That's so motivational. And let's get to the message. Luke 10. Verses 30.
Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead.
Now listen to this. The 5 mindsets in this passage of scripture. A certain man went from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jerusalem is 1200 feet above the sea level. 1200 feet. And Jericho is 22 feet below the sea level. Jerusalem is 1200 feet above the sea level. That's where worship is. That's the city of the king. Jericho is 22 feet under the sea level. Anytime you leave the house of God, or the presence of God, or the city of God, or the word of God, and walk away into Jericho, the city of bondage, you're always going down. Now it says here, it's about 29 miles. The road, mind the road to Jericho. That's the message. The road from Jerusalem to Jericho is not a straight road. It's a road with twists and turns. As a matter of fact, I googled it and checked it out. It's not a straight path. It's got twists and turns. You have to realize that you can't reach where God wants you to reach through a straight road. Most of the time what happens to born again believers is that because they're born again, they read the word of God, they pray in tongues, they think everything has to be clear and smooth and fine. No problems in life. But see, it's a meandering road. It's got its twists and turns. The shortest distance from the point A to point B is not a straight line. Are you with me? It's got its twists and turns. A 9-year-old child was given a cake. And she said, "For all the things I have been going through in life, this cake is the biggest blessing that God has rewarded me with." Can you imagine a 9-year-old saying, "For all the things that I've gone through in life," what life has she seen? But that's the mindset of the person. Every joker wants to feel like a victim. As if the hardest part of life has hit them and everybody else outside is enjoying life and look at me, poor me. You feel as if you got the, the hard part of life. We are not in heaven yet. The journey here has got its twists and turns. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And amidst all that, what God wants His people to have is the right kind of mindset. The first mindset is the mind of Jesus. A lawyer came to Jesus and said, "What must I do, Lord, to test him?" The one who has got all power, who can see everything, who's got all potential, the God who knows everything. He comes down to specificity of choosing the story. He's choosing this one to explain to this guy. Look at his mind. Look at the mind of Jesus. Somebody asks you a tough question. You need the wisdom of God to give them the specific answer. Are you with me? That's what wisdom and understanding comes. And how many of you will pray tonight for the wisdom and understanding that comes from Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. To have a very specific word. Somebody's trying to trick you. Somebody's trying to put you in a tight spot. Somebody's trying to, question you. Somebody's trying to test you. Jesus gives the exact. You look through the Bible. I love Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of Jesus Christ. The second mindset is the mind of the person who built the Jericho Road. See, it's a trader's route. And if you have to get to Jericho or to Jerusalem from either of those parts, it is said that you have to go nearly 600 miles to Galilee. And then come back to Nazareth. And then come to the city. Now somebody, even though you have to go uphill from Jericho to Jerusalem, somebody said, no matter what the struggle is, no matter what the battle is, I don't want to go a roundabout way. No matter how hard it is, I'm going to climb this. Amen. I'm going to make a way where there seems to be no way. I'm going to depend on the Lord and make something out of this. It's going to be a meandering, slow, winding road. The pull of gravity might pull you down every time you try to take two steps and go up. but still I'm going to keep making this road and somehow get to Jerusalem. Oh, come on, church. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You might have your battles and challenges in life, but hallelujah, how many of you will say, I'm going to have this mindset no matter how hard it is, no matter how much the strong the pull of gravity is, I'm going to go up this road. I'm going to go up this road till I come to the heavenly city that is Jerusalem. I have got to reach there. Jesus is the Lord of my life. I'm going to go up no matter what. There is no way I'm going to back down. I'm going to go up. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody spoke about the Jericho road, saying it's a road that simply refuses to go anywhere. Because you look at it, it's just a maze. Just going uphill. And sometimes in your life you think you're going nowhere. But as long as you're keeping the vision of the heavenly city that is Jerusalem, as long as you're saying Jesus is ahead of me, He's got a call over my life, He's got a plan over my life, no matter how hard I've tried and fallen down, how much the pull of gravity is, I'm going to keep my focus and still keep walking because there is a calling that is placed upon my life. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a trader's route. The third mind is the mind of the lawyer. This lawyer is the one who asked Jesus, what must I do? A certain lawyer. That lawyer actually represents the society. Some people ask questions, they never want an answer. Sometimes people come for counseling. And they ask questions one after the other. They don't want an answer. They're not looking for an answer. They already made their judgments. They already got a mindset that is hard. They already got a mindset that refuses to learn. They don't want to understand. They just got a mindset. They just want to ask the questions. Society is like that. A cynical society. They want to ask all kind of funny questions. I've seen so many people like that in the church. They want to ask. They never want to reply. And you know what? Why they don't want to reply? Because this man is asking, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What shall I? What shall I? What shall I? It's always about me. The mindset of the lawyer is always about himself. What about me? What I want? What does anybody care about what I want? Church, is this helping somebody here tonight? People who always ask questions are most of the time centered on themselves. They don't want to reply. They don't want an understanding heart. They don't want to walk in the fullness of God. Whether it be in relationships, whether it be in the twists and turns of life, most people lose out on relationships during the turns. That's what T.D. Jakes said once. You lose people on the turns. As long as it's straight road, everybody's happy. No financial problems, no health problems, no emotional problems, no spiritual problems. I mean, nothing. Everything is smooth. Wow. But mindsets come into play in the twists and turns of life. And every person will go through their share of twists and turns in life. It might be rejection. It might be whatever, struggles or battles or whatever. But amidst that is where you need to have a mindset, hallelujah, that says, Lord, give me understanding. Give me wisdom. Be specific. Speak to my heart. Help me to trudge this way till I reach the heavenly city that you've prepared for me. My focus is on you, Jesus. Oh, come on, church. Praise the Lord. Amen. The fourth mindset is the mindset of the thief. Let's take what everybody else is carrying, even if you don't know what they are carrying. That's the mindset of the thief. Because it's the trader's route, the mindset of the thief. I'm going to take what everybody else is taking. You go to a party, I'll have what everybody is having. Gin with soda or whatever. In South Africa, a young man killed a neurosurgeon to steal his BMW car. And the young man sold that BMW car for $1,000 to somebody else, but killed a neurosurgeon. Can you imagine that? A neurosurgeon who spent nearly 3/4 of his life just learning and educating and studying to be something in life, killed by a young man for a BMW. Look at that. For a BMW car, which he sold for $1,000. About 50,000 rupees. And what was strange was, years later, this young man's kid actually died. But if a neurosurgeon was there, that kid could have been saved. The fifth mindset is the mindset of the trader or the traveler. The traveler who travels that road. He knows it's a dangerous road. He knows the road from Jerusalem to Jericho is a dangerous road. But he's got a faithful mind. I gotta do what I gotta do. Are you with me? There are people who are faithful. I gotta do what I gotta do. The sixth and the seventh, the priest and the Levite. It is said that in Jericho is where Herod's resort was. Are you with me tonight? Are you with me tonight? Amen. Lift your head and say hallelujah. Jericho was the place where Herod's resort was. This priest and the Levite were too busy to stop by. Because their thought was, if I stop to help, what will happen to me? The Good Samaritan's thought was, if I don't stop to help, what will happen to him? Most people have this mindset, what will happen to me? This priest and Levite might have been too busy with their business that they actually said, no time, what will happen to me? Since the trader's route, I got to get to Jericho. Maybe I just want to chill out in Jericho. Hey, well, I don't mind. But the Samaritan man, open your mouth and say the Samaritan man. One more time, Samaritan man. Well, King Omri was the guy who bought Samaria. And there, when you study the book, when he bought Samaria, the Jews had interracial marriages with the people there. And so the Jews who kept their life to God's command of not marrying outside of their, you know, tribes, refused to have any fellowship with the Samaritans. They refused to have something to do with the Samaritans. But look at the Samaritans' mindset. Look at his core values. He comes that road, sees this person bleeding there, and he decides to help. Look at his purpose. There's a guy almost half dead in the ditch. But he places value on that person. Sometimes I ask people, do you place value on the, in a family life, husband, do you place value on your wife? Kids, do you place value on your parents? Parents, do you value your kids? You come to a church like this, do you value the church? You hear a message like this, do you value the message? It could change your life. It could change your destiny. It could be the Holy Spirit meeting with you through His Word to change you for good forever and reach you to the full potential that God has placed in you. But most people are so indifferent. They don't value. Their core values are missing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I heard a preacher say, this guy, some good Samaritan, did not take this half-dead man to the hospital, but took him to the inn. And the preacher said, Jesus was born near the inn, in a manger. People who evangelize, people who preach, people who minister for, they got a motive to see people who are broken, who are wounded, them healed, set free. It is not for name, for a fame, to say, listen, what good a preacher I am. No, no, no. Sir, there is somebody sitting here who is desperately in need of a word from God, who is bleeding, who is wounded, who will have and join the resurrection power tonight out of the message, because that's the concern of the preacher. I want to lead somebody to Jesus. Not go over and say, okay, listen, hospital, take care. You need to have a global, a biblical understanding. Globally, you know. A worldview, globally. I mean, a worldview, biblical worldview. When people are hurting or wounded, don't give them a self-help trick and say, okay, yeah, empathize with them. Okay, you're going through something. Okay, brother, don't worry. Everything will be okay. What's going to be okay if they don't come to Jesus? Are you still with me, church? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of Jesus. Amen. This Samaritan built this person up. One, with his life, with his values, with his purpose, with his biblical understanding, and also with his money. All the hard work that he had done, the money that he had, he paid to the innkeeper and said, take it. Take care of him. Would you do that to somebody whom you don't know? Somebody whom you met on the streets? Would you do that to somebody whom you met on the streets? Somebody is half dead, wounded. Would you say, let me buy you coffee, let me buy you a masala, let me just come. Would you do that? Where would you spend your money? How would you spend it? What's the mindset that you have over your money? Mind the road to Jericho. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The mindset is to change, to become the mindset of a Samaritan. Hallelujah. not to receive, not to get. Amen. Praise the Lord. The priest and the Levite, if they could have got an offering from this guy, they would have definitely ministered to him. There are so many preachers who would only minister where they get an offering. I remember the first time I went somewhere to preach into North India. The person who organized the meeting said, "Pastor, what is your charge?" They said, "What? What's your charge?" I said, "I didn't get it." I said, "What? How much do we have to pay you? We want you to hold this crusade here. How much do we need to pay you?" I said, "Nothing." Otherwise, when I reached there after the crusade, the organizers were telling me, "You know, Pastor, why we called you? We wanted to get the best preachers, but they all cost us so much. So we didn't have that money, that's why we called you." I said, "Thank you for telling me that. I'm down in your list." Huh? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's close our eyes in prayer tonight.